From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Chris Bannon.
Some may belittle politics, but we know who are engaged in it that it is where people stand tall. It is still the arena that sets the heart beating a little faster. And if it is on occasions the place of low skullduggery, it is more often the place for the pursuit of noble causes. And I wish everyone, friend or foe, well, and that is that, the end.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair stepped down this past Wednesday, ceding control of the Labour Party and its government to longtime Treasury head Gordon Brown. When Blair first took up residence at 10 Downing Street a full decade ago, his political nickname was Bambi, a wry reference to his doe-eyed expressions of optimism.
A new dawn has broken. We have been elected as New Labour, and we will govern as New Labour.
Few Brits would describe him that way now. Blair leaves office deeply unpopular with his own people. Only 22% said in a recent poll that they could trust him. For the first 7 years of his tenure, Blair's image was entrusted to Alistair Campbell, his communications director, and the man often credited with introducing spin doctoring into British politics. He says he was just doing his job.
In general terms, I was always of the view that the press was there and the media was there to help me help Tony get a message across to the public. I never saw my job as being there to help the press.
They would agree, probably.
They certainly would. But, I mean, I think what had happened before was that people in the Labour Party really thought, you know, well, we've got to let the media kind of set the agenda for us. Well, you can't do that in politics. You have to try to set the agenda yourself. And that's what we did. And in the early days, it has to be said that because Tony was so attractive, so popular, so appealing as a political figure, the press kind of liked this part of the narrative. You know, the Labour Party's finally getting its act together. They're kind of doing the things they should have been doing for years. And over time, they sort of realized that we really were setting the agenda, and they kind of felt that was their job. But it's interesting, you said in the introduction that Tony has left office and he's deeply unpopular. He's not. He gets a very, very, very bad press most of the time. But actually, how many prime ministers have left office getting a standing ovation from every single member of parliament? Our media in Britain, it kind of doesn't do in between. You're either a hero or you're a zero. What happened was that we were hero for a while, and then after a while, they thought, well, this is kind of boring now. Well, let's make him a zero.
And the give and take between the British government and the press has been described by many as very aggressive and very hostile on both sides. Do you think you played any role in making it more aggressive and more hostile?
I think I did, yeah. And it got a lot worse than I ever wanted it to be or ever planned it to be. Actually, Bill Clinton said something really interesting to me about this. He said, look, you've got to try and get back into a situation where they understand you've got a job to do, you understand they've got a job to do, and you shouldn't just constantly always be questioning each other's motives. The Guardian newspaper here described it as sort of an abusive relationship. It really was not pleasant at all. There were many reasons why I left in 2003, but one was that I hoped that maybe me leaving would kind of drain some of the poison from that relationship, but it didn't really, because I think that the media in this country is very different to yours. It's very different to any media, I think,
in what ways?
The there's a real culture of negativity. That's very, very hard to deal with, and after a while, if you bang your head against a wall for too long, you get a very sore head.
It's hard to believe from our perspective that we're not really negative enough, but if you say so.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I can remember a period in the wake of September the 11th, and he was, as you know, going around the world and taking a very prominent role in the diplomatic activity that followed in the lead-up to the war in Afghanistan. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on your program, but I recorded my diary at the time. He goes abroad, he's fated everywhere he goes, and we come home and it's like swimming through shit. And that was what it was like most of the time that you were dealing with the domestic media.
Do you feel that you helped create the idea of spin? Some people charge that spin didn't exist in Britain before you. Is that true?
Listen, it's always existed at every level of politics. What didn't exist in Britain before we came along was 24-hour news, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, news, news, news. And they couldn't be bothered to go and do kind of policy stuff. They just loved to talk about me and about spin and all the rest of it. And spin is, you know, what is it anymore? Political communication is not just legitimate. It's an essential part of modern politics. Democratic politicians have got a duty to explain to their publics all the time what it is that they're doing. Now, in the modern media age, you need professional support to do that properly. And that's what I did. Big deal.
Alistair Campbell, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Alistair Campbell was Director of Communications and Strategy under British Prime Minister Tony Blair from 1994 to 2003. His book, The Blair Years, will be published next month.
A day like today, I mean, it's not a day for sort of sound bites, really. We can leave those at home, but I feel the hand of history upon our shoulder.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.